skincare is not one size fits all. At Image, we rely on skincare professionals and clinically proven ingredients to create solutions that adapt to your lifestyle. But don't take it from us. Just ask the 30,000 plus professionals in over 60 countries across the globe who trust Image Skincare to deliver when it comes to results. And while we got our start with skincare pros, we think it's about time you got to know us better too. Tune into Skinfluence to hear straight from industry professionals on how to keep your skin healthy, radiant, and resilient through every stage of your vibrant life.
All right. Hello, everyone. I am Jacqueline Hill. I am going to be your host today, and we are back with a very exciting episode of Skinfluence. I also just wanted to share with you guys, just in case you didn't know, that Image Skincare has been named the number one salon and spa professional skincare brand for the second year in a row. And we are so happy and excited, and we are as motivated as ever to continue down this road. So not only bringing you the number one skincare, but bringing you great podcasts like this. So, of course, you know, here at Skinfluence, we talk about all things skin, and I want to introduce you to our special guest today. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Maria Marlowe. Maria is a certified holistic nutritionist specializing in acne, one of my absolute favorite subjects. So I'm so excited to have Maria here. She is the founder of Kuma, a science-backed ingestible skincare company on a mission to revolutionize how people think about skincare from the outside only to the inside, So we're thinking about skincare, stopping thinking about it from outside only, but we're thinking about it from the inside out as well. For the past 10 years, Maria has helped thousands of people across the globe improve their health, and she teaches how to get to the root of your acne and clear it naturally through diet and lifestyle changes. Maria is also an author and has been featured in Vogue, Good Morning America, and more. So let's all welcome Maria. Maria, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
I'm excited to chat with you because the reason I got into skincare is because I suffered from acne, and I was looking for all of the different ways to be able to cure my acne. And I think, like so many people, I went to dermatologists and I went up and down the drugstore aisles and I did all the topical things. And I wish I would have known you back then, Maria, because it sounds like you have the answer from the inside out.
Well, I was actually in your shoes as well. So I wish I would have known me back then too. Known me now. But I had the same experience. I had acne for about 5 years. And I tried just about everything from the drugstore topicals to the infomercial topicals to dermatologists and prescription medications. And my acne just persisted. It would not go away, or it would go away for a short period and then it would come back, sometimes worse. And then I also had a lot of digestive issues from all the antibiotics I'd been on.
So of
course. I not only had acne, but I was bloated all the time as well. And, you know, for a long time, I thought I was cursed with bad skin or bad luck because no one could seem to help me. And it wasn't until I was introduced to this concept of food as medicine that everything changed for me. And at first I thought it was crazy because back at that time, I mean, we're talking like over 10 years ago now,
right?
The even mention of diet and acne having any connection was really poo-pooed. And it wasn't talked about the way that it is now. And so I was very skeptical, but willing to try anything. I drastically overhauled my diet, worked on repairing my gut health, and in a matter of 3 months, my skin finally cleared up. So I was just blown away by my own experience that I ended up changing my whole life path, going back to school to study nutrition and cooking, and really making it my mission to teach other people how to clear the skin naturally from the inside out.
I think that is amazing. I love that that journey that you had for yourself really led you to this passion of wellness and skincare. I remember being younger and my mom saying things like, oh, well, you can't have like soda or you can't eat French fries. But like that was the extent of it. So there has to be more. So first of all, tell me, what is this gut brain skin connection? Why is this so important for people to know, besides you just can't have a Coke and drink, eat some French fries?
Yeah, so the gut-brain skin connection is actually fascinating. We're beginning to hear about it more and more now, but the idea for this originated about 100 years ago by two dermatologists who were looking at their patients and doing studies, and they realized that the patients that had acne tended to have gut issues and tended to have stressful, you know, or high stress. And so based on their work, they were sort of the forefathers of this hypothesis or idea. And in the decades since, a lot of their theories have been proven correct. So basically, the gut-brain-skin connection refers to this bidirectional or two-way relationship between the three organs. So essentially, what happens in one organ affects the other two organs.
Okay.
So for example, when you're stressed, this is actually fascinating and mind-blowing. When you're stressed, research shows that the negative thoughts, so thoughts of fear, worry, sadness, depression, these actually alter your gut microbiome, and they create a negative impact on the gut microbiome, wiping out some of the good bacteria. This allows some of the bad bacteria to proliferate. It could also damage the gut lining, and these changes in the gut microbiome create inflammation in the body. And that inflammation, that chronic or systemic inflammation, can then show up as inflammation of your skin, aka breakouts. So it's really important if you are struggling with acne or any sort of inflammatory skin condition to understand this gut-brain-skin connection and also look at your stress and your diet as possible routes to clearing your skin.
I love this information. It's amazing how inflammation is the cause of so much dis-ease or disease in the body. And I think people don't think of your skin as like this organ where some of these things are able to manifest. So I love how this is kind of going together. We hear so much trending about gut health. It's really been trending. And also the microbiome of the skin. So I don't think people maybe know that your gut also has microbiome. So how do you regulate your gut health and keep everything kind of more regulated so you don't get this inflammation?
Yeah, so there's so many things that we can do to support our gut health. And it's important, you know, you don't need to do all of them necessarily, but it is important you do at least some of them or most of them, because I feel like in today's day and age, modern life is almost designed to disrupt our gut. From our highly processed foods, lots of sugar, stress, like I mentioned before, this is actually really negatively impacting the gut. Even if you think you can handle your stress well, there's, you know, things going on inside your body that you're not realizing, the certain medications, right? So there's just so many things in our modern lifestyle that can impair the gut. So it's important that we try to nourish it and support it as much as we can. So a few things that you can do to help the gut would be, one, to reduce processed foods, refined sugar, and alcohol, which can all disrupt the gut. And then on the flip side, you want to make sure that you're eating enough fiber. The easiest way to make sure you're getting enough fiber is to try and fill your plate at as many meals as possible with about 50% vegetables. Vegetables or fruit, that's going to help you reach your daily fiber goals. Another thing that you can do is focus on adding polyphenol-rich foods into your diet, like pomegranate, blueberries, broccoli, and beans, as these are especially beneficial for the gut. And you also want to try adding in more prebiotic foods. So this includes things like oats, onions, leeks, apples. These are all fuel for the good bacteria in your gut. So it's important that you're having a variety of fiber-rich foods, especially these prebiotic fiber-rich foods.
And then
another
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, they're also like these gut health shots and things like that. How do you feel about those things? Or can you make your own?
Yeah, I guess it would really depend on what is in the gut health shot.
But okay.
You can certainly make your own. And I would imagine most gut health shots, they probably have ginger. And
yes.
That's usually pretty popular. Ginger is great for gut health. It's great for reducing inflammation, and it helps to support digestion. So that would be great. And you can make that at home. I actually have a recipe that I love. It's called Glow Glow Juice.
Ooh.
And I call it that because it glows. It's literally neon yellow from lemon peel, but it also makes you glow when you drink it. So that's the double glow. And it's made with lemon peel, orange, and ginger and water. And you basically blend them all together and then strain, and it makes this like gorgeous neon yellow juice that's very highly anti-inflammatory, and it's rich in antioxidants, which support clear, healthy skin.
I love that. I will be drinking a big old glass of that tomorrow. Wrote my recipe down. I got it.
Yeah. Yes, I will send you that. And then just a couple other things that you can do to support your gut health. Eating fermented foods regularly. So things like kimchi or sauerkraut or traditionally fermented pickles, these are all going to be a natural source of probiotics. And probiotics are going to help support gut health and digestion. You could also take a probiotic, especially if you're not eating fermented foods daily. Which, do you eat fermented foods on a regular basis?
Well, I'm a big fan of sauerkraut. Does that count? And I do like
yes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. My kids think it's gross, but I'm from Wisconsin. They got a lot of German influence. So I like some good sauerkraut. And I won't say daily, but definitely weekly, it's in my diet.
That is excellent. Yeah, that's rare to hear. A lot of people in the U.S., especially in New York, I would say most people don't eat fermented foods. It's more of a rarity. So the fact that you love sauerkraut is amazing. And even if you're eating it weekly, that is great. That is, you're way ahead of the ball game for, compared to most people. So incorporating fermented foods, also things like tempeh, natto, miso, there's many different fermented foods. You could do fermented yogurt, like a
Ooh,
coconut
nice.
Yogurt, for example, that's fermented. So these are all going to have beneficial probiotics. So incorporating them into your diet. And then if you're just not eating fermented foods on a daily or very regular basis, then adding in a probiotic supplement could be helpful. And then finally, reducing your stress. That is a big one, and that's the one nobody wants to work on, but that also will have a big impact on your gut health.
I love that, and I think that's something that we don't think about. Anytime I'm really, really stressed, I feel it in my stomach. Like, I get an upset tummy. And so maybe people aren't even thinking about that could be something that's causing breakouts for you as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And stress acne is a real thing. It's a real thing. They've done numerous studies on this. And because of that gut-brain-skin connection, it's very highly possible that the stress is disrupting the gut, and then the gut is creating inflammation, which is resulting in breakouts. Even they've shown that stress, which raises your stress hormone cortisol, elevated levels of cortisol can actually cause your sebaceous glands to produce more oil.
Oh, wow.
So another reason to work on your stress, and there's many different things that you can do to try and reduce your stress. You don't have to necessarily meditate if that doesn't call to you.
Okay.
You don't have to do yoga if that doesn't call to you. But, you can find something that works for you, whether that's exercise, time in nature, breath work. I really love breath work because that's really easy and quick.
Right.
You can just take a minute out of your day to breathe slowly and deeply, or do some of these like box breathing or the 4-7-8 breath. It's so quick, but it really instantly calms you down. And one thing I'll say for me, like as a very highly anxious, like type A person traditionally, I will say the thing that helped the most for me before I could get into meditation and yoga and all that stuff was I read this book called Loving What Is.
Ooh.
And it's really, I'm telling you, this is a life-changing book because it basically helps you think about stress differently and how you approach stress. And I found that by reading this book, the things that used to stress me out a lot, like they didn't stress me out as much anymore, or they didn't stress me out at all because I was changing my perspective on what I allowed to stress me out. So that book is a game changer, especially if you're really struggling and you have a high level of stress. Changing your perspective on stress can really help.
That is great. I am an avid reader, so I've just added not only some good foods, but I've added another book, and some Glogo juice. So I'm getting all kinds of gems from this podcast, Maria. So thank you. Okay, so we've talked about some amazing things to help to keep your gut health balance. Are there any specific foods that you recommend people avoid? Like my mom always told me it was Coke and French fries, which I loved, of course, as a teenager. Yeah. I loved Coke and French fries, and I worked at a restaurant, so of course I had Coke and French fries. But what are some other things that people should be avoiding?
Same. Well, your mom's a very smart woman, because she is right. Both of these things are associated with acne. So the Coke, that's sugar, and it's liquid sugar. So we all know that too much sugar is not great for our health, not just for our skin, but our health overall. And interestingly, when we drink our sugar, it's absorbed more quickly than if we eat the same amount of sugar. So it's going to have a bigger impact on our health. So if you're going to have sugar, at least eat it versus drinking it.
Okay, great. So a candy bar instead of a Coke. I got it.
Yeah. That would be the optimal choice. So what the studies show, the two types of food that are most well associated with acne in the scientific literature are a high glycemic diet or a high sugar diet and dairy. So in terms of sugar, a little bit of sugar is not cause for concern. It's just when we're over consuming sugar, which is very common because of all the processed foods that we're eating. Also, the portion sizes in the U.S. tend to be quite large. So, a big gulp soda is way more sugar than you need probably for the week. But what the studies show is that people who consume a high glycemic load diet, so they're eating a lot of refined sugar, refined carbohydrates, so their blood sugar is unstable, they are greatly increasing their risk of acne. And then simply switching to a low glycemic load diet, which is one that is full of whole grains and whole carbohydrates that are keeping the blood sugar more stable, they reduce their acne. So there was one study in the American Academy of Dermatology that looked at 3,000 participants who had acne and put them on a low glycemic load diet. And at the end of 12 weeks, so 12 weeks is not really that long of a time.
No.
87% said they had less acne, and 91% said they needed less acne medication.
Wow.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
I would have done anything at 16. I would have eaten whatever you told me to eat if in 12 weeks I saw that kind of a difference. So that's huge. And then what about the dairy?
Yeah, dairy. So dairy, there have, again, been numerous studies. So I would say dating back to around the 1940s, that's when researchers first started to link dairy and acne. And more recently, in 2018, there was a meta-analysis published in the journal Nutrients. And a meta-analysis is a type of study that looks at various studies and pulls them together. So it's not one individual study. It's literally pulling together a number. So in this particular instance, it pulled together 14 different studies on acne and dairy, which included a total of almost 80,000 people. Okay.
Wow.
And based on the results, the researchers concluded that any dairy, such as milk, yogurt, or cheese, was associated with an increased odds ratio for acne.
Okay.
So that's pretty huge. I mean, 80,000 people, that's a pretty huge...
That's a big group.
Yeah, so it's pretty significant. So if you have acne and you're consuming dairy, simply experimenting with eliminating it for a couple of weeks to a month, could give you some answers and some insights. You will see pretty quickly if it's problematic. You'll likely see that pretty quickly.
I think that's a great idea too. Maybe just keeping like a food journal and a skin journal. Like I ate these things and the next day I saw my skin look this, or I had a big breakout and maybe I, you know, had some pizza and it had the cheese on it. I think that's a really good way for people to see, because different people's skin might react differently to different foods, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So dairy is not going to necessarily trigger acne in every single person on the planet.
Perfect.
But science-wise, a lot of people, it does trigger acne. So keeping a food diary, like you said, is excellent. And that's actually really what helped me figure out my foods initially, was simply, like you said, keeping a note of what I was eating and then seeing how my skin reacted the next morning. And in fact, when I initially embarked on these food changes, I was so skeptical that even when my skin cleared up after I made the food changes,
yeah,
I didn't believe that it was from the food. I literally thought it was a miracle. I thought God had answered my prayers, and it just happened to be coincidental that I had changed my diet. So I went back to eating the pizza and the cookies and the soda and all the things that I have loved. And then, of course, my skin broke out right away. And it was actually seeing it break out, you know, that second time after my skin had cleared, where the light bulb really went off. And I was like, okay, these foods are not great for me. My body is rejecting them.
Right.
So I'm going to really make an effort to eat a different way, eat more whole foods, less processed foods. And it gets easier over time. Like, I don't miss any of those foods now. And I really crave the healthy stuff. Your taste buds will change over time.
No, I love this. So a little at a time. And I think that is going to be a huge part of it. When you see that reward, because I, even as an esthetician, I always tell people, I have acne, even though they don't see active lesions on my skin, because it's something that is kind of a lifelong process. Like, it is a lifestyle change in order to be able to manage it. So just knowing that you're going to get those results if you kind of stick with it, I think is going to be a big motivator for people.
Exactly. And look, I'm Italian, so I love dairy, and I was eating a lot of dairy before I realized it was breaking me out. And so now, you know, over time, as you heal your gut and repair your gut and get your blood sugar more stable and make sure that you're consuming adequate nutrients, and once your body is back in balance, you can actually
yes.
handle these foods a bit better. Like, I will eat French fries, you know, every once in a while if I feel like eating French fries. And if I'm in Italy on vacation and I want to eat a slice of pizza, like,
absolutely.
I'll eat it, you know? And I just know, like, okay, I might break out if I have it. But I find that the threshold is a bit higher. So whereas before, I would probably break out immediately if I had just one slice of pizza. Whereas now I can get away with a few days of having cheese and things before I would break out. And when I break out, it's not as bad. So it's, you know, knowing these things, I helps you make, like, decisions and just kind of know what's happening and how to control the acne.
Exactly. And you've healed your gut health, so it's able to better handle an occasional, not an everyday, an occasional little treat for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So there are different types of acne. Are all acne, like, caused by food? Or tell us a little bit about some of the different types of acne.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So traditionally, acne is categorized into, like, two different categories. One would be inflammatory acne, and one would be non-inflammatory acne. So inflammatory acne refers to those more under-the-skin type of pimples, the deep cystic acne that's red and usually painful and inflamed.
Yes.
And then the non-inflammatory acne, that refers to the more topical pimples, like the whiteheads and the blackheads that don't seem red and inflamed. They're a lot smaller. But interestingly, in the last decade or so, some research has suggested that all acne, including the so-called non-inflammatory acne, is actually starting with inflammation.
Right.
Even if that inflammation is subclinical. So that's something that's quite interesting. And if you look up the definition of acne, it's now classified as an inflammatory disorder. So even though there can be many factors that are contributing to the different types of acne, inflammation is believed to play a pivotal role in all types of acne. If we were to think about acne just sort of commonly, the way a lot of people think about acne, like maybe stress acne and hormonal acne or just regular acne, you know, there's different factors at play. So with the stress acne, of course, stress could be the, you know, sort of the impetus, but what's happening? The stress is disrupting the gut, creating inflammation that's ending up on the skin. With hormonal acne,
right,
this is one where I feel like people are always questioned, well, can diet really affect hormonal acne? My hormones are imbalanced, so there's something wrong with my hormones. And what I always tell people is that if you have any type of hormonal imbalance, your hormones are not the problem. The habits causing them to become imbalanced are the problem.
Right.
The hormones are messengers, and they are responding to inputs and to the environment. So, for example, with stress, when we're stressed, the body produces more of the stress hormone cortisol. Or if we're eating a lot of sugar, our body is going to produce more insulin, which is a hormone, and IGF-1. And with acne in particular, the main hormonal imbalance that is often associated with acne, particularly in women, is increased androgens. So we need to ask the question, okay, why are the androgens high? And there are some food causes that, you know, that could lead mm-hmm. to this. So the way that we get rid of excess hormones is through our stool. So if you're constipated, if you're not eating enough fiber, drinking enough water, then those excess hormones that your body's trying to get excrete, they're sitting in the gut for longer than they should be, and they can actually get absorbed back into the bloodstream, contributing to imbalance. So simply adding more fiber to the diet, making sure that you're going regularly, which also probiotics can help with, that can actually help to correct hormonal imbalances if that is the root cause of your hormone imbalance. Similarly, high levels of sugar and refined carbohydrates in the diet, this can also, you know, lead to hormonal imbalance. So there are many factors where, like, it seems like, oh, maybe it's just the hormones. There's no way my gut or my diet is, you know, influencing it. But that's actually not the case. Your gut and your diet could very heavily be influencing, you know, the imbalance.
So that's so interesting. So there's so many different things that you need to learn about and tackle. But the one thing that kind of stood out to me is that it all comes back to we're creating this inflammation. And because acne is categorized as an inflammatory disorder, we need to tackle the inflammation. So it's not, even when we're talking about topical ingredients that we're using on the skin with acne, whether it be inflammatory or non-inflammatory, so things like benzoyl peroxide, which help to tackle the inflammation and kill bacteria, and salicylic acid, which also help to slow down sebum, but can act as antibacterial ingredients as well. So even topically, we're focusing on reducing that inflammation. So, you know, both ways, whether we're doing it inside or outside, the inflammation is the trigger, and that's the key. And that's, you know, either way, I feel like we have to be able to tackle that.
Exactly. And that's why it really takes an inside out approach.
Yes.
Our skin is external, so we need to wash it. We need to take care of it. We need to treat it from the outside, but we also want to treat it from the inside. So you're really having that two-pronged approach to reducing inflammation.
I love that. So for people who are on the go or just kind of starting this gut health, brain, acne journey, what are some quick go-to snack? So I don't want to reach for my chips anymore. I'm going to go home and toss them out. I don't necessarily want to have that candy bar, even though eating the sugar is not as bad as drinking the sugar. What are some go-to snacks that you would suggest that are going to be satisfying and fun and delicious, but are not going to contribute to my acne and my breakout?
Yeah, there's so many delicious, healthy snacks for on the go. One of my favorites is seasoned artichoke hearts, which Ooh. Sound really weird, but they're really delicious. You can get them in the refrigerator section of the grocery store typically. And artichoke hearts are a really great source of fiber. So fiber is going to aid in regularity. And really one of the keys to keeping your skin clear is making sure you're eliminating daily and completely. And eating enough fiber is going to help you do that. So artichoke hearts are great snack. I also love flax crackers or carrots with hummus. Flax is a great source of plant-based omega-3, so that's going to help to reduce some inflammation, and it's also a good source of fiber. Dark chocolate with nut butter. So you could still maybe not have a candy bar, but you could still have your chocolate fix with a piece of dark chocolate or a couple pieces of dark chocolate.
I'll take it.
And and you can just choose like a 70% or above dark chocolate. There's all different types on the market now, like that have better for you sweeteners, such as monk fruit, for example, or stevia, honey. You know, you can find all different types of sweeteners, but as long as it's dark, it should be okay. And then pairing it with some nuts or nut butter is going to add a little bit more protein and fat. This is actually a good trick. And this is why a candy bar, which typically has nuts and nut butter, is going to be lower glycemic than, say, you know, a soda. When you pair anything sweet with protein and fat, it helps to keep your blood sugar more stable.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like a little trick. Whenever you're having something sweet, like even, for example, like dried fruit, for example, a lot of people think that's a really healthy snack, and it can be, but the problem with dried fruit is that because it's dried, you end up eating a lot more of it than you would if it was the whole fruit.
Correct.
And it's a very concentrated source of sugar. So it may actually spike your blood sugar. But if you were to have, for example, the flax crackers with hummus first and then have the fruit, or have some other, like some nut butter, for example, that is going to help to blunt that blood sugar spike.
Or even maybe make a trail mix where you could have your dry fruit and mix it with your nuts and seeds and those
exactly.
kind of things.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, that's a great idea. And I also love like a piece of fruit with nut butter. So like an apple sliced up with some almond butter is really good. Or, you know, whatever fruit you like with a tablespoon or two of nut butter.
Okay, these are, I have to go home and redo my cabinet, but I love all these ideas, and I'm very excited about these artichoke hearts. I'm going to go find some. I'm already thinking, oh, will they come out a little crispy if I throw them in the air fryer? So we're going to have...
Oh, they will. I've made them before like that. They're very good.
All right. I already know what I want to do for dinner tonight. So this, again, I'm getting all these amazing gems. One of the things that you talked about kind of extensively are like prebiotics. And I think people are not really even sure, like, what is a prebiotic? What is a probiotic? What's the difference? Do I need both? And how do I decide which ones to have? And how do I get them? Like, what foods are they in?
Yeah, that's a great question. Probiotics are good bacteria that improve the gut microbiome. So they're going to aid in regularity. They're going to help to reduce bloating, improve nutrient absorption, and overall support digestive health. And interestingly, because everything in the body is connected, research shows that improving your gut microbiome through the use of probiotics can also improve immunity. It can improve your mood, vaginal health, and even skin health. Probiotics are found in fermented foods. So okay. we touched on that earlier, things yeah. like sauerkraut and kimchi, as well as probiotic supplements. And when you're choosing a probiotic, a supplement in particular, you want to look for one that has clinically validated strains that support the benefit that you're looking for. So if we're talking about skin health, some of the strains that have been shown to be beneficial for skin health are L. rhamnosus SP1. This strain has been shown in a clinical trial to reduce adult acne in 12 weeks. L. acidophilus is also great for skin clarity. Those are probably some of the top two.
Okay.
And prebiotics, on the other hand, these are a type of fiber that act as food for the probiotics or the good bacteria in your gut.
Okay.
So they're going to help the probiotics flourish. And you can find prebiotics in various plant-based foods, including apples, onions, garlic, and green bananas or plantains, which are my absolute favorite. You could also find them in supplements. And I would recommend when you are choosing a probiotic to choose a probiotic that also contains the prebiotic just to enhance efficacy. And that's why even in my own probiotic low biome, I used 6 clinically validated strains that support the gut and skin health plus a prebiotic to really enhance efficacy.
All right. Now that is something new that I learned, and I think just the easiest way to explain it. So the prebiotic is food for the probiotic, keeps it healthy so that it can do its job and keep us healthy.
Exactly.
I love it. All right. So beyond food, we talked a little bit about mindfulness. Mindfulness, what are some other things that are going to play a role in helping to maintain that gut, brain, and skin health?
There are so many things you can do in terms of lifestyle. One maybe low-hanging fruit is just getting enough sleep, sure that you're sleeping well in a dark room, and you're getting to sleep on time so that you wake up feeling refreshed. You're getting enough hours of sleep. That can help to reduce the stress on your body and to help to keep your hormones more balanced. That's a big one. Spending time in nature. The studies have actually shown that simply sitting in nature, you don't even need to be walking, although you could be, simply spending time in a green area that has some grass and trees lowers your stress hormone cortisol and relaxes the nervous system. And it doesn't have to be like, you don't need to go to a mountain or a national park. If there's grass and trees in your backyard, you can literally just go sit in your backyard for 30 minutes and that will do the trick. That's a really easy one and a fun one, one of my favorites. Exercise. Someone actually asked me the other day, because I do recommend as a lifestyle habit, doing exercise regularly, moving your body. Yes. And they asked, how is it possible that exercise can help your skin? And exercise can indeed help your skin, because what it's doing is when you're increasing your circulation, you're increasing the blood flow of the oxygen and the nutrients to your skin. So like, as you mentioned earlier, skin is an organ. It needs nutrients in order for it to function properly. And by exercising, moving your blood, moving your lymph, it's helping to clear out toxins, and it's helping just to nourish your skin. So exercise can also be great, and it's also great for reducing stress. And then I think I mentioned this one earlier, breath work. Breath work, yeah. I think, is a game changer for me. Have you tried it? Have you ever used like breath work?
I do. I actually, my Apple Watch reminds me every hour to breathe. I have a little notification.
So
yeah, and it gives you a little countdown. So I can just tap it and close my eyes. It beeps for like 10 seconds. I breathe and then it lets me go on about my day. But it's a nice reminder, because when you're stressed, you don't even know you're holding your breath or tensing your shoulders. And until it reminds me, I'm like, oh, I was stressed about that email or that training or whatever was going on. So I like, and with technology, like you just like, don't think you can just remember yourself. I'm a big proponent of technology can be bad, but it also can be very helpful if we use it correctly. So my Apple Watch and my phone tell me a lot of things to remind me a lot of things during the day to stay present.
I love that. Yeah. And having those reminders is so helpful, because it reminds you, right? It helps to keep you on track.
Yeah. So I love it. And I also, I love to win. So if I can, if it tracks it, I'm like, yes, I did it. I closed that ring today of remembering every, hour to just take a little bit of a breath. So if anybody's a little crazy competitive, which can also be stressful, that's, make your competition work for you, make that competitive spirit work for you. So That's
I love that. I love the Apple Watch. But sometimes I like even having a calendar, printing out a 1 month calendar and then just checking off, okay, my goal this month is to do, X, Y, and Z. And every day that I do it, I put a check mark or an X, and then you can see it visually in front of you. And you want to make that X every day. You want to make that check mark. So it really motivates you.
Yeah, and then you should give yourself a little reward at the end, like a spa day or a massage or a pedicure or something. Just make it a little bit of fun. All right.
Exactly.
So I've heard a ton of them in my skincare career, but I'm sure you've heard a ton of them too. What are some myths that people think about acne that are just absolutely not true?
Well, first one we've kind of discussed, but I'll just put it out there because it still persists, and that is that diet does not affect acne.
Yes.
It does It definitely does. We know that several nutrient deficiencies, such as vitamin A, zinc, and omega-3, are associated with an increased risk of acne. We know that certain dietary habits, like that high glycemic load diet, increases your risk of acne. And we also know when we look both historically and around the world at cultures or societies that do not follow a Western diet, that have a more traditional diet with just whole, real foods, nutrient-dense foods, low glycemic foods, acne is pretty much non-existent.
Wow.
And it's been studied and it's been tested. It's not genetic. It's literally because they're eating a whole food nutrient-dense diet, they're not getting acne. But when those same people move to cities and they adopt a Westernized diet, the acne comes, and in a similar rate as everyone else, you know, living in that society. So that is the number one myth I'd like to bust. Another myth is that oily skin is a type of skin.
Right.
It's not. It's a state of skin. So we kind of touched on a couple of things like stress, for example, that can increase your oil production.
Correct.
Too much refined carbohydrates or sugar can increase your oil production by increasing insulin and IGF-1, and that's those elevated levels of IGF-1 cause your skin to produce more oil. So simply changing your diet can actually normalize your sebum production. And I'm sure you come across this all the time. Sometimes when people have oily skin, they try to just wash it off and they use these really harsh topicals. That strip it all away. And then what happens? Your skin needs some oil on it, so it's going to overcompensate and actually produce more oil, not less.
Absolutely.
And it just becomes this kind of like endless cycle.
Absolutely. I love those. I just want to add to it that you do not have acne just because you're dirty too. So washing your face more is not the answer. Some people, you know, that's what my mom used to tell me too. So she was right about the French fries, but she was wrong about the dirt. Like, just wash your face more. You didn't wash your face. And I was constantly washing my face and still had the breakouts. So, yeah.
Yeah. But exactly. It's not a hygiene problem. Another one I'm sure you hear all the time, too, is that sometimes, like, I'll see people recommending washing your pillowcase every single day.
Oh, yes.
Which seems very stressful and just seems way, like, too much. And you know, if you're going to sleep with a clean face and clean hair,
right,
there's nothing that's getting on that pillow that's going to, you know, increase your acne. If you, you know, if you're, I don't know, putting a hair mask in that's very oily or like there's some comedogenic product, then okay, I understand washing your pillow. But for most people who are going to bed with a clean face and clean hair, washing your pillowcase is not going to make a difference because, again, it's coming from inflammation and any bacteria on your pillow is coming from you anyway.
Right.
So it's not going to make a big difference.
No. And the stress that you get from thinking I didn't wash my pillowcase is probably going to be worse for you than that pillowcase
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I could talk to you all day, Maria. Unfortunately, we do not have all day. But if people want to get in contact with you, if they want to learn more, like what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can check out my website, which is mariamarlowe.com, and Marlowe is spelled M-A-R-L-O-W-E. I'm also, and there's a contact form there, so if you have any questions. And then I'm also on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram is Maria Marlowe, and TikTok is Glow by Marlowe.
All right, so I know you're going to get a ton of new followers after this, including myself, who will probably be blowing up your inbox with all kinds of questions. This was amazing. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge with us, for giving us another insight on acne. I love it because we are a skincare company and we have amazing products and we have amazing treatments. But if you're not taking care of your gut health and changing, making these significant lifestyle changes, you're not going to get your best results. So thank you for sharing this with us and letting us see another perspective. Any final words or any final tips that you want to share with our listeners?
The last thing I'll say is that for anyone suffering with acne right now, just know that it gets better and know that your body is resilient, so it can heal. And that acne is really a blessing in disguise, alerting you to the inflammation and imbalances within. And a lot of people are not so lucky because, as you mentioned earlier, inflammation is really at the root of so many chronic illnesses and diseases. And for many people, that inflammation is silent and it does not show up until some random, you know, very serious occurrence later down the line. So with acne, we're a bit more motivated to find a solution and look for that root cause. So I know it doesn't seem like it now, but really acne can be a blessing in disguise. And try to work with your body and figure out what it needs instead of being mad at your body. Because I know personally that was like the biggest shift for me, is like I was so mad at myself and like hated looking in the mirror, and it made me very sad.
Yes.
But changing that mindset and being like, I know it's hard, but just trust me on this, thanking your body for, you know, providing this red flag and this alert, and using it as a way to, you know, assess your diet and lifestyle and develop healthier habits.
All right. I love it. I couldn't have said it any better myself. So you guys, if you want to hear more amazing guests like this, if you want to hear more amazing content like this, make sure that you are subscribing to our Skinfluence podcast. We are on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple. And then you can also follow us on our social media, which is at imageskincare.com. So this was an amazing episode. I want to say again, thanks to Maria, and you guys make sure that you stay tuned for future episodes of Skinfluence. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Skinfluenced. If you are skincare obsessed just like us, don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. We also love hearing from our skincare fans, so send us your questions and comments to skinfluenced@imageskincare.com.